The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or PAML Broadcasting. It's time now to take a journey into getting healthier and living a life that feels better and functions better. It's time to maximize your health with Dr. Eric Ashburn.
Good morning. Welcome to Maximize Your Health Radio. I'm your weekly health coach, Dr. Eric Ashburn. I have a lot of information I'm going to cover this show, but I'm going to start off with coffee, right? If you have a cup of coffee or tea in your hand right now, good. It's a good thing, because today we're talking about what's actually in that cup, and some of it is going to surprise you. Two breaking news stories look at a hidden toxin in everyday coffee and tea, and a practical buying guide so you know exactly what to look for moving forward. So, you know, last month, HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. called out Starbucks and Dunkin' by name at an Eat Real Food rally in Austin, Texas. He was challenging them to prove their frozen drinks are safe for teenagers. And I challenge for adults as well. And the numbers are hard to argue with, right? A grande caramel frappuccino has around 55 grams of sugar before you add anything else to it. A medium caramel creme frozen coffee from Dunkin' has 132 grams of sugar in one drink. So federal guidelines recommend no more than 10 grams of added sugar per meal. So some of these drinks deliver 10 times more than that in a single cup. So Kennedy's pushing to close what he calls grass loophole. So that's a FDA policy that lets food companies self-certify the ingredients as safe without a full federal review. Now in Massachusetts, the governor's he's saying, you know, come and take it. He wants Kennedy to come and take the coffee. And Kennedy's response is, no one's taking your coffee. But the question of whether 132 grams of sugar is safe for a teenager seems worth asking. And I like that, because I don't care about politics. I'm not going to lean either way, especially on this radio show. But facts are facts. If it has 132 grams of coffee, I don't care who's talking about it, it's bad for us. We shouldn't be drinking it, and it shouldn't be in our bodies. So, you know, when you look at it, I'm going to get into some of the chemicals we really need to avoid as far as how these things work. So in January, a class action lawsuit was filed against Starbucks in a federal court in Washington. The claim was independent lab testing of their decaf house blend detected three chemicals, methylene chloride, benzene, and toluene. So to put that in plain terms, methylene chloride is used to strip paint. Benzene, it is an industrial solvent found in gasoline fumes, and toluene shows up in metal cleaners. So the testing found methylene chloride is 22 parts per billion, a level the EPA considers unsafe at any amount. And benzene came in at 23 parts above the EPA's safety threshold. So how do these things get into coffee? The most common decaffeination method uses methylene chloride as a chemical solvent to pull out the caffeine. So trace residues can remain from the decaffeination process. And the lawsuit's argument is that Starbucks broke a specific FDA rule. It's that people who choose decaf for pregnancy, health, or sensitivity reasons deserve to know what processing chemicals were used. And Starbucks denies those claims, so the case is ongoing. So the bigger picture what's hiding in everyday coffee and tea is you break it down into all the pesticides. And the number one pesticide that's in your coffee and tea is mold. So coffee beans, especially cheaper mass market ones, you know, your Folgers, whatever other, I don't drink those coffees, whatever other brand, they're prone to mold contamination. And that mold produces mycotoxins, which is a toxin in mold that messes up our health. Two most dangerous are oxytocin A, a possible carcinogen linked to brain fog, chronic fatigue, and kidney damage, and aflatoxin B1, the most prevalent natural occurring carcinogen known to science. It's directly linked to liver cancer. More than 90% of unroasted green coffee beans show some mold contamination, and it's much, much worse commodity grade coffee than in specialty beans. So here's the kicker. Decaf is higher in mycotoxins than regular coffee, because caffeine itself is a natural mold inhibitor. And if you remove the caffeine, you lose that protection. Now, another thing is acrylamide. And acrylamide forms when any starchy food is exposed to high heat, coffee included. And it's a probable carcinogen, and it's in virtually all roasted coffees, organic or not. So same goes for polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. So PAHs, the same compound health experts flag in charred food. And tea isn't off the hook either, right? A lot of times I switch back between coffee and tea. You may do that too, or maybe a tea drinker alone. But the Journal of Toxicology found that over 70% of teas tested contain elevated lead levels. 20% showed aluminum and other heavy metal contamination, and many standard tea bags are made from plastic, bleached paper, or GMO corn fiber, some treated with epichlorohydrin, a compound that breaks down in boiling water and leaches into your drink. So the EPA flags it as a probable carcinogen linked to fertility problems. So here's the thing. What do you want to look for, right? Here's the part that actually matters as far as all this stuff goes. And when you're drinking coffee, number one thing you need to look for is it's USDA certified organic. So organic will not have those chemicals in it. It reduces the pesticides that you get exposed to significantly. Single origin or specialty grade, lower risk of mold contamination than commodity blends. So you have much lower risk of mold contamination in the single origin specialty grade coffees than in the mass marketed coffees you see in your grocery store. Mycotoxin tested, that's mold tested. Some brands publish lab results, and that transparency is a green flag, not a red flag. Whole bean over pre-ground. So you want to get the whole bean stuff. Pre-ground stuff has, and whole bean has less surface area, so it means slower oxidation, doesn't break down as quickly, and has less mold risk. And also for decaf specifically, you got to look for Swiss water processed. So Swiss water processed or CO2 extraction on the label. And that's two decaffeination processes that remove the caffeine without any chemical solvents. So for tea, you also want to look for USDA certified organic. And that reduces pesticides and heavy metal risk from the tea. Loose leaf over bagged, that removes the tea bag from the equation entirely. And if you use bags, use unbleached plastic-free bags, look for paper, cotton, or hemp, and avoid anything described as silky or mesh, which is usually nylon. And brands that test for heavy metals and publish results, it's a growing member of tea, brands that do this, and it's a very clean method for our health. So when you think about coffee and tea, and it's the number one beverage people drink in our country as far as a hot beverage goes, and it has tons of carcinogens, tons of toxicity. It's the most heavily sprayed crop in the world. So you need to be very, very careful that you're eating organic or drinking organic, clean coffee beans, whole bean, single origin, that's from a single origin source. And with tea, you want to have organic sources as well. Could be a huge difference, especially if you drink it daily or multiple times a day. That's a toxicity source. That's a low hanging fruit to change and have a major health response in the end. Okay, so now I want to talk about one of the most important and most overlooked conversations in healthcare. It's about the gap between when something goes wrong in your body when you finally find out about it. And I want to challenge something most of us have been taught to believe, that is, if you feel fine, you are fine. And you're not necessarily. And the systems that's supposed to protect your health in many ways designed the entire system wrong as far as getting you better. You know, I talked to someone not too long ago and they said, they heard a story. If you're going down the river and there's a big waterfall, I mean, a huge waterfall, and you're in a boat and you lost your oars, well, it's called it's over, right? There's no going back. But you don't necessarily hear the roar of the falls before you get there. And that's what we do with our health. We're going down a river thinking everything's perfectly fine. We're being told everything's perfectly fine. And by the time we get close to the falls, we have no oars. We have no recourse to try to turn that boat around and get better. So let's start with the definition. True health is not the absence of symptoms. True health is 100% function. Every cell, organ, every system in your body doing exactly what is designed to do at full capacity. The moment it drops below 100%, even by 1%, that is by definition the beginning of disease. Not the diagnosis, not the symptoms, not the dysfunction itself. The label comes later. The symptoms come later. The positive test comes much, much later. This isn't fringe thinking. This is basic physiology, but it runs completely counter to how our modern medical system operates. So I'm going to go first into the spine. So if we talk about the spine, because it's one of the most well-documented examples of this gap between dysfunction and symptoms. Research using MRIs and imaging on people with zero back pain consistently show significant structural degeneration is extremely common in people who feel completely fine. By age 40, roughly 68% of people with no back pain have visible disc degeneration on an MRI. By age 60, the number approaches 90%. And spinal degeneration is a slow, progressive process. It doesn't begin the day your back goes out. It begins years, sometimes decades before that. The vertebra shift, the discs compress, the nerves experience pressure, and your body compensates, recruiting other muscles, shifting posture, masking the dysfunction, sometimes for 10, 15, 20 years before pain finally breaks through. By the time you feel it, the problem's not new, it's old. And the spine, that's one example, but this principle runs through virtually every organ and system in the body. It's very important to understand if you want a body that's functioning excellently, it's going to last you for a long, long time. This is very important how your body runs. And if you think of the liver, it can lose up to your liver can lose up to 75% of functional tissue before standard blood tests flag a problem. So imagine you're getting blood work every year and they're saying you're fine and you have 70% loss of function. Your kidneys don't produce noticeable symptoms until 60 to 70% of function is already gone. Coronary artery disease, heart disease, can silently build for 20 to 30 years before a first cardiac event. And for many people, that first event is fatal, right? It's a heart attack and you die. So insulin resistance can be progressing for a decade before blood sugar rises high enough for diabetes diagnosis. So the brain changes associated with Alzheimer's begin 15 to 20 years before any cognitive symptoms appear. So this pattern is identical every single time. Dysfunction first, symptoms last, symptoms sometimes decades last. So now modern medicine, for all of its remarkable capabilities, and I feel has remarkable capabilities, is largely built on a reactive symptom-based model. You feel something, you report it, you get tested, and you get a diagnosis. But if dysfunction has been present for years before symptoms appear, and we know it has been there, right, then waiting for symptoms is not healthcare, it's damage control. I want to repeat that. It's very important to understand. Waiting for symptoms is not healthcare, it's damage control. And the standard of care is if your numbers are in range and you have no symptoms, you're fine, come back in a year. But a liver at 60% function is not fine. A spine degenerating for 15 years is not fine. A cardiovascular system building plaque for 2 decades is not fine. They're simply not yet loud enough for the current system to hear. And that costs people their function, their quality of life, in many cases, years off of life, because the time the symptoms respond, the window for true correction has often already closed. Now, let's talk about the most important thing for this, for some people anyway. You know, you want to have a good life, a long life, a fruitful life, tons of energy, play with your kids, be a good spouse, whatever it is. But let's talk about what this actually costs, because this isn't just a health crisis, it's a financial crisis as well. So when dysfunction goes undetected and unaddressed for years, the medical bills that eventually follow are not small. They're huge. We're talking specialist visits, imaging medications, procedures, surgeries, often stacked on top of each other because now multiple symptoms are involved, not just one. So chronic disease is the most expensive category in American healthcare, and a vast majority of it is a direct result of problems that were silently building for years before anyone intervened. But the financial hit doesn't really stop at the doctor's office, right? When your body breaks down far enough that it affects your ability to work, and for millions of people, it does, you're now looking at lost income, missed promotions, reduced hours, early retirement forced by physical limitations, and in severe cases, complete disability. The person who could have addressed a spinal issue or metabolic problem a decade earlier, when intervention was still straightforward and relatively inexpensive, is now navigating a life that's been fundamentally reshaped by a problem that didn't have to get that far. So it's very important to understand it's a very reactive model. And this reactive model doesn't just cost you your health, it costs you your livelihood. It costs you your family's financial security, and it costs the broader healthcare system an enormous and largely preventable burden. Investing in proactive, functional-based care earlier is not an expense. It's the single most cost-effective decision a person can make for the long-term health and financial future. I can't tell you how many people I see in my practice who come in and say they can't afford care because their health has broken down to such a large extent they don't have money, they can't work, they can't do anything. At that point in time, they're stuck with whatever their insurance will pay for, whatever doctor their insurance will pay for. And once again, it's not proactive, it's reactive. So I want to focus on something that really ties everything we spoke about together, because there's one system in your body that controls every other system and it runs directly through your spine. Your nervous system is your body's master communication network. Every signal your brain sends to your heart, your lungs, your digestive system, your immune system, your hormones, every single one of those signals travels through the spinal cord and out through the nerve roots that exit between every vertebra, every backbone. Your nervous system doesn't just control movement and sensation, it controls function. Every ounce of it. So what that means is any compromise to your spine, any shift, any compression, any degeneration is not just a structural problem, it's a communication problem. A nerve being compressed at the mid-mac is just a source of potential pain. It's a disruption to the signal traveling to the organ of that nerve that the nerve serves. And because the body compensates so well, and because the disruption often produces no pain whatsoever, it can go completely undetected for years. This is why it's so important to see what's going on in your spine and nervous system. It's not optional. You know, it isn't something we should just do when we're hurting. It's essential because your back, you know, when it hurts, it creates health issues, your nervous system, and every system in your body, and it damages that network. And these can be present and progressing for a long time before your symptoms announce it. Think of it like electrical wiring in your house. You're slowly shorting out behind the walls. You wouldn't even know it until something stopped working until there's a fire. Waiting for the fire is not a plan. Getting routine inspection is. So what we do, we're a very advanced neurological spinal corrective practice. And every week I open up 10 appointment times for anybody who wants to come in and just go through an exam. It isn't a commitment to start care. It's a commitment to see if you're healthy or if your health's failing you long before you're diagnosed or you have symptoms or you need medical care or surgery or anything else. That's always the best time to take care of these issues. And so we do films and we go over the results of that exam with you to let you know how your body's working, how it isn't working, and what exactly can be done to get you healthier and get you fixed and have a more prosperous life, really, both emotionally, financially, and every aspect of it. So if you're someone who wants to come in and have that entire exam process, the x-rays, meeting with me, going through your whole history and doing the complete doctor's report, understanding the information and how to get better, just give us a call or text us. You know, the first 10 people who call us or text us will give you a free exam. Come in, we'll do the whole exam for free, up until the point when we're talking about your care and you decide what you want to do to try to take care of your health. You're an adult. You decide whatever you want to do, but up until that point, it's a free exam. And at that point, we'll discuss care, costs, everything to try to change and save your life. So give us a call. It's 845-896-1200. Or you can even text us on the same number, 845-896-1200. And text us the word posture. We'll get back to you Monday morning and we'll set up an appointment time for you to come in over the next week, try to get you healthier and get you functioning better and running better and have a much better life. So the number is 845-896-1200 or 845-896-1200. Give us a call. We'll get back to you Monday morning and get you on track to being the healthiest version you're designed to be. I'll tell you, every time I'm away, me and my wife, we always talk to each other and say, I can't wait to get home. Now, I enjoy being away. Being away is a good time. You could decompress and relax, but I always want to get back to my home. That's my comfortable place. I know where everything is. You know, all my stuff's there. But something goes on in our home that's much more toxic than the other areas. So let me just ask you something. When was the last time you thought about the air inside of your home, right? Not outside, but inside. Most people spend somewhere between 85 to 95% of their time indoors, especially over winter. And the air inside the average American home is, according to the EPA, 2 to 5 times more polluted than the air outside. In some homes, the number is often 10 times worse. So think about that. We filter our water. We read food labels, worry about exhaust fumes when we're stuck in traffic, but the air we breathe in a place we sleep, eat, and spend most of our lives is more toxic than all the rest of the outdoor environment, and we almost never think about it. So today I'm going to speak about this. I want your home environment to be the healthiest place, has a measurable impact on your nervous system, your health, hormonal system, immune system, and your long-term health. And the good news is a lot of it's fixable. You can make it a lot better, and you can start today for free. So the invisible load, if you want to look at that, you got to start with the air you're breathing. So indoor air pollution comes out of sources most people never suspect. So the volatile organic compounds, the VOCs, are gases released by everyday household products, paint, varnishes, cleaning supplies, air fresheners, scented candles, new furniture, carpeting, flooring. You know, a lot of us get paint with low VOC or no VOCs in it, trying to eliminate toxicity. But these things, this formaldehyde in the VOCs, they can off-gas from pressed wood products, cabinets, certain fabrics for years after they're installed. So that new furniture smell everybody loves, that's chemicals releasing into your air. So then there's particulate matter, fine particles from cooking, especially frying, that can stay suspended in the air long after the meal's gone. Dust mites, pet dander, mold spores, carbon monoxide from gas stoves and attached garages, radon, which is a naturally occurring radioactive gas that seeps up to the ground into basements and lower floors. So a lot of this stuff never gets tested for. So we really need to address this. There's so many things from flame retardants, phthalates and PBDEs that slowly off-gas into the air and settle into your dust, you know, your home, your surfaces, and your endocrine disruptors. And this is very important for health, very important for weight loss. Endocrine disruption is a huge thing in terms of weight loss, health, and overall function. So it interferes with your hormonal system, your thyroid, reproductive health, and your children's neurological development. The problem is with these things, they don't smell. Many people say, my water smells good, my air smells good. These things, they don't smell. You can't see them, and they're virtually in every conventional home in this country. So the cumulative effect of breathing all this stuff day after day, year after year, while you sleep, while your children play on the floor, while you think you're safe at home, is what researchers call the toxic body burden. So it's not only one exposure that breaks the system, it's the relentless accumulation of all these together that are quietly pushing your body's detoxification pathways past their capacity. So I don't want to give you the bad news, right? I'm going to give you some good news to focus on as well, because the bad news, I just want to paint the picture of how toxic our homes can be, but I want to get into this as far as how to make it better. So I want to start with some solutions. I'm going to start with a few that cost nothing so people don't have any excuse not to do them. Number one is open your windows every day if possible. You know, we have nice weather now. We had some good weather, but we're getting warmer. So even for 20 minutes, open up your windows, it moves the dial significantly in your home health. So modern homes, very importantly, are built for energy efficiency, which means they're built airtight or close to it. And that's great for your heating bill, but it's terrible for your air quality. So without ventilation, every VOC, volatile organic compound, every cooking particle, every off-gassing chemical from your furniture, your mattress, your flooring, just recirculates. And then that builds up and your body absorbs it continuously. So cross ventilation is even better. Open windows on opposite sides of your home to create airflow that actually moves the stale air out of your house and brings fresh air through. Do it in the morning before the outdoor air heats up if it's in the summer, and you can do it in a peak of day when it's cooler months, you know, so you don't have as much cool air coming in. Do it after cooking, do it after cleaning, do it after you bring new furniture, new paint, or new products of any kind. The off-gassing is the heaviest the first days and weeks. I always say, I like to buy used cars. People understand that for financial reasons, because it doesn't off-gas as well as much. That's important to me. But I'll say I like to buy used houses. That sounds odd, but used houses, a lot of the drywall, carpets, floors, they've already off-gassed, and you don't have to deal with that burden. So one habit alone, consistent daily ventilation, can meaningfully reduce the concentration of indoor air pollutants, and it can create a much better environment. So I'm going to get into what else you can do too. So beyond opening windows, here are changes that make the biggest difference. Get an air purifier with true HEPA filter. Not HEPA type filter, a true HEPA filter, which captures 99.97% of particles down to 0.3 microns. Add an activated carbon filter to capture VOCs and gases, which a HEPA filter alone won't address. Run it in your bedroom, especially there, because you spend a third of your life there and your body does its deepest repair while you're in your sleep. And also, your bedroom's typically close to your bathroom. Your bathroom could be in your bedroom, as high as concentration of mold. Add plants. So strategically, NASA research identified a range of common household plants that absorb VOCs and improve air quality. Snake plants, peace lilies, spider plants, pothos, and English ivy are very, very important for removing these particles. They won't replace a good air purifier, but they contribute to a healthier air environment all day long, and they add something that a machine can't, living biology in your space. Switch your cleaning products, very important. Conventional household cleaners are amongst the highest sources of VOC exposures. Bleach, ammonia, synthetic fragrance, these vaporize in the air during and after and use lingering long life on the surface even when it's dry. So swap to fragrance-free, plant-free cleaners, or plant-based cleaners. White vinegar, baking soda, Castile soap, right? Handle the vast majority of household cleaning without putting a single synthetic chemical in your air. Ditch synthetic fragrance. This one's hard for people to understand because it's a comfortable thing. It's a habit thing. You plug in air freshener, scented candles with synthetic fragrances, dryer sheets, heavily fragranced laundry products, and there's significant sources of phthalates and VOCs in your home. If you want a scent, use beeswax, Use beeswax or soy candles with essential oils, or simply diffuse essential oils directly. Your hormonal system will thank you. Take your shoes off at the door. This is an underrated thing to do. The bottom of your shoes carry pesticides, heavy metals, bacteria, petrochemicals from every surface you've walked on. Studies have found that homes where shoes are worn indoors have significantly higher levels of lead dust, lawn chemicals, on their floors, exactly where the children and pets spend most of their time. This one habit creates an enormous reduction in chemical tracking. Vacuum frequently with a HEPA-filtered vacuum. Dust is not just dust. It contains flame retardants, pesticide residues, phthalates, heavy metals settled in the air. So standard vacuum without HEPA just redistributes fine particles back into the air, and HEPA vacuum actually captures them. Filter your tap water. This is big. So if you have city water, it's going to have chlorine, chloramines, fluoride, heavy metals, pharmaceutical residues. Yes, pharmaceutical residues. And increasingly, microplastics are in municipal water supplies across our country. A quality carbon block or reverse osmosis filter will seriously reduce your exposure. And the water you cook with and bathe with matters just as much as what you drink. If you have a well, have it tested and know what's in your well. It'll help you survive much better. So this is very important, right? The one thing I want you to take away from all this is these are not isolated issues. These environmental toxin exposures don't just sit in your lungs or your bloodstream in a contained way. It creates systemic inflammation. It disrupts your endocrine systems, your hormone system. It burns your liver and kidneys, the organs responsible for filtering and clearing these compounds. It dysregulates your immune system. It affects your brain chemistry, your sleep quality, energy levels, your body's ability to heal and repair. So you just need to make sure your body's working good and everything's well. So guys, bless you. End of the show. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you next week with more Maximize Your Health Radio.
And you've been listening to Maximize Your Health with Dr. Eric Ashburn. To hear this show again or to recommend it to your friends, visit the podcast page at WHUD.com. Tune in again next Sunday at 7 a.m. for another edition of Maximize Your Health with Dr. Eric Ashburn, right here on 100.7 WHUD.